Good morning. Wish all of you who have braved the elements to come here today a happy and joyous Super Bowl Sunday, the high holy day of American sport craft. So we're glad you're here. And I'm told that the appointed hour is 6:30 this evening, and we will all be glued to our television sets to see what new wonderful commercials coming along. So, I have some announcements this morning. Today is our second Sunday fellowship that will be immediately following worship. And we're also going to have a church scavenger hunt. And Catherine is in charge of that, I understand, whether she wants to be or not. We have pencils, we have check sheets, and we have marvelous prizes. Catherine, did you want to say anything more about it? Just join us in the fellowship hall. So that will be a great, great time together. We're also going to be taking up funds for the Super Bowl of Caring. This has been going on for a number of years. It was started, oddly enough, by a Presbyterian church in South Carolina, and they've been keeping a running tally of the funds that have been received to date. The last, I guess, 25, 30 years. So let us give generously and joyfully to that wonderful cause. And all the proceeds will go to the Northwest Georgia branch of the Chattanooga Area Food Bank. Join us for Ash Wednesday, 6 p.m. This is the closest Presbyterians get to a Wednesday evening service. My Baptist brethren have always said Presbyterians are afraid of the dark. This is our one chance to prove them wrong. But Ash Wednesday is the beginning of the Lenten season, 40 days exclusive of Sundays, and the time we prepare our hearts for the glory of Easter. So please come at 6 p.m. on February the 22nd. That will be a marvelous time together. And on Sunday, February the 26th at 2 p.m., the Deo Clinic will be presenting a concert featuring the Atlanta Mandolin Orchestra, an ensemble of mandolins, mandolas, mandocellos, guitars. I never knew there were so many varieties of a mandolin, so I'm looking forward to being educated. And come and be with us. It's going to be a great time of culture and entertainment. Let us do keep our earthquake victims in our prayer in Turkey and Syria. I have not yet heard from Presbyterian Disaster Assistance what their response will be. We usually, in international disasters, work through a group called Action by Churches Together, ACT. And I'm hoping to have more information for you next Sunday on what we are doing with that. So let us come and worship together. The peace of Christ be with you all. Let us pass the peace.
Please stand for the call to worship. We gather in the name of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Still your voices, calm your spirits, open your hearts. Of glory. Let us invite him in and worship him with all that we are. Let us worship God and let us pray. We await your word with joyful hearts, open ears, receptive spirits, and expectant minds. Come, O Lord, speak your will to us, challenge and change us during this hour, that we might be your obedient servants, working your purpose in your world, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Be seated. The proof of God's amazing love is this: while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Because we have faith in him, we dare to approach God in confidence. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together, first in silence, praying first in silence. And together we pray. We are gathered, Lord, in holy array. Yes, the clothing of our souls is tattered and torn. We are soiled by our sinfulness and threadbare in our pride. Take us, we pray, and weave us anew on the of your. Adorn us with your loving kindness and grant us the shoes of our faith, which stride confidently toward your kingdom. This we pray through him who suffered and died for us, Lord Jesus, our King. Hear the good news. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed you from your sins. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. We are forgiven. Thanks.
Please be seated. Now we'll have our time with the children. Ask the young people to join me down front.
Boy, where is Haynes today? Oh, you're Haynes for the day. You're the default Haynes. Okay, all right. Well, fantastic. Well, we're glad you're here too. Do I?
Haynes has a fever.
Haynes has a fever. Well, we're just going to have to keep him in our prayers. Hope he gets back to his usual hazedom. Well, did we lose something? Well, Mary just took off like a bolt of lightning. Which, someone at the door, okay. Some people think we start at 11 o'clock here. We get the jump on them. Well, not tomorrow, but Tuesday is a special day. Do you know what day that is? Valentine's Day, that's right. This is a marriage maintenance memo to all of the guys in the service here. Tuesday is Valentine's Day. And I want you to remember your sweethearts, okay? Because there's no reason for giving the women of our lives more of a reason to think less of us than they already do. Okay, now, hey there, hello. I'm so glad you're here. I'm Ken, and you're welcome. So, let's see, Valentine's Day. What do we do on Valentine's Day? Let me think. Okay, we cook a big turkey and stuffing, and we have a lot of prayer. No, that's not what. No, what is that? Oh, that's Thanksgiving. Okay, Valentine's Day. Let me think. We do big cookouts, and we have flags flying, and we remember No, that's Memorial Day. I'm having a tough time. What do we do on Valentine's Day?
Give Valentine's.
That's right. We show people that we love them, which is so, so important. You know, we don't really know who St. Valentine was historically, but we do have some traditions about St. Valentine. One is that he was a soldier in the Roman army, and he came upon one day a poor beggar on the side of the road, and he took off his big Roman cloak, big heavy thing, and it was snowing and it was awful, and he took his sword and he cut his cloak in half, and he gave that half of his cloak to the poor man that was on the side of the road shivering. Late that night, he went to bed and he had a dream. And in his dream, the Lord Jesus appeared to him and said, I was the one shivering in the cold with whom you shared your cloak. You may not have heard that tale, but I read it a long time ago, and it makes a lot of sense to me. We know that we're called to share what we have with those who are less fortunate. And we know that on St. Valentine's Day, we don't have to cut our coats in half and give them to people, but we show them Valentine's. My fingers don't work. You got it. Thank you, Hannah. Making the sign of the heart. Well, my fingers just don't do that anymore. But my heart does. And so know that I love you and we love you. And on Valentine's Day, show that love to everybody around. Oh, I got a smile. That's good. Let's pray together. Father, we are called to show love each and every day. So grant, we pray, your goodness and your peace to each of us as we share the love of your kingdom with everyone we know. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Loving God, you have made us that we cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth. Give us a hunger for your word, and in that food satisfy our longing through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 30. Let us listen for God's word. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall certainly perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him, for that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, forever. Amen. And further from the New Testament, our second scripture lesson this morning comes from Corinthians chapter 3. Listen again for God's word. And so, brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as fleshly, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now, you are still not ready, for you are still fleshly. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not fleshly and behaving according to human inclinations? For when one says, I belong to Paul, and another, I belong to Apollos, are you not all too human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you come to believe as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and each will receive wages according to their own labor. For we are God's co-workers, working together, and you are God's field, God's building. This is the word of the Lord.
If that didn't bring a smile to your face, you have some kind of borderline personality disorder.
That was just wonderful.
Thank you, choir. And Adam, thank you, Alex, over on the soundboard. Thank you, Nancy, for your ministry of liturgist. It's a tame effort that brings all of this beauty together, and I just feel a need to thank everyone who goes into it. And you, of course, the congregation, for your ministry of consumption
We're glad that you're here too. And blessings upon us all as we seek to serve the Lord. Our gospel lesson this morning is taken from the gospel according to St. Matthew. We are reading from the 5th chapter, verses 21 through 37. Hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, "You shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment." But I say to you that if you're angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or a sister, you'll be liable to the council. And if you say, "You fool," you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you're offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you're on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard it said, "You shall not commit adultery." But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, "Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce." But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on ground of sexual immorality, causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you've heard it said to those of ancient times, "You shall not swear falsely, but carry out all the vows you've made to the Lord." But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Lord, sometimes your scriptures make us a little uneasy, and that is well. Help us, O Lord, to look beyond the letter of the law and perceive the spirit that underlies it. And grant that all that we do may glorify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I remember when I was growing up, one of the most proud things my mother ever did was to join the Sears and Roebuck Laundry Detergent Club. She thought that was just marvelous. She didn't know there was a club for that until she went to pick up her usual, seemed like 50-pound box of laundry detergent from Sears and Roebuck. It was quite the thing. She came home and said, "I'm a member of the Sears and Roebuck Laundry Detergent Club, and I want that etched on my tombstone." I had a similar thing. I don't usually join clubs much because they tend to want me to become the secretary for whatever reason. But there was one I was a member of, and it was the Radio Shack Battery Club. Do you remember that? Does anybody remember Radio Shack? Yeah, I was a member of the Radio Shack Battery Club. I was so proud of myself.
And there was nothing required, the salesman told me. All I had to do was come in once a month and I would get a free battery of whatever size I wanted. Well, one day I went to pick up my battery and I was confronted by a bank of television screens. I had never seen that before. And on those screens, there was a kind of a skinny, gangly-looking, adolescent, ugly. I didn't know who it was. Then it occurred to me it was me on all those screens. In a fit of absolute horror, I forgot to even get my battery. I just went home. And forever since, I've had a hard time being a member of a club. But you know, we are members of a club, you and I, the club that is called the Community of Christ. We are all members of that club. And yes, it does come with a few requirements. And one of those requirements is try to look beyond the letter of the law, the letter of the rules, and see the spirit that inspired it. Now, a lot of people, just soon I didn't preach on this third part of the Sermon on the Mount, because it makes people kind of nervous, particularly people who have been married and divorced and got remarried, particularly people who have a hard time going to court and swearing this, that, and the other, people who have gone through the hard parts of life. We're all compromised, believe it or not. No matter how we look on the exterior, we are all compromised in our lives. And so Jesus is showing that to us in this section of sayings, which are sometimes called the antithesis or the antithesis, whichever way you want to declare it. It is written, but I say to you. It is said, but I say to you. It was shown to you, but now I show you a new way. It is indeed a lesson for us as we live in this year of grace, 2023. Let's look at these ad seriatim. It says, if you have anything against your brother, take care of it. Actually, it starts out saying, you have heard it said of old, you shall not murder. But I tell you, if you bear hatred in your heart or anger in your heart, you're already guilty of murder. I have never personally killed anybody. But I do have a list. I suspect all of us do. There are some people, and some of these are in my family, that I love. But I love best from afar. And I learned long ago that family harmony in my clan anyway is best preserved when visits and reunions are well spaced and brief. What am I to do with this passage except to fall on the grace of God? Jesus has raised the bar so high, none of us can vault over it. But we live by grace, not by faith, and by faith. Jesus tells us over and over again, all have fallen short of the glory of the kingdom of God. But the time in which he lived, it was a time of obeying the letter of the law. And so people would say, well, I've never murdered anybody. And Jesus says, yeah, hold on a minute. That doesn't cover the waterfront.
if you've ever been angry at your brother or your sister, which means anybody you're related to or anybody you know, then you're just as guilty as if you had murdered. And Jesus says, you know, if you are going to go to church and you are quarreling with your brother or your sister or whoever, settle that first. Because that anger, that guilt, that dis-ease will prevent you from worshiping fully. That nagging doubt in the back of your mind, that unsettledness of bad relations, of anger, will prevent you from offering your sacrifice of time fully, completely, and joyfully. Then he goes on to talk about adultery. You know, I get more people coming and sitting in the chair of my office, which is the chair nobody wants to sit in. It's now in my home office, but for some 40 years, I always had it in my office wherever I was serving. And it's gotten a lot of wear and tear. There are literally grooves in the arms of the chair where people's thumbnails have kind of dug in, and the seat is kind of worn thin by people shifting in it as they talk about the things that are bothering them. I call it the chair nobody wants to sit in because it is the chair where truth hurts. Well, Jesus is talking to the people of his day who can divorce their spouse by simply giving a writ of divorce. You are hereby no longer my wife. And the reasons for it could be any reason at all. If the lady of the house burned the bread, that was grounds for divorce. If one of the children turned out ugly, that was grounds for divorce. If somebody slept late and breakfast was not on the table at 7 o'clock in the morning, grounds for divorce. And that was the world in which Jesus and the disciples and all of his people lived. And Jesus says, there is more to the spirit of this law than simply writing a writ of divorce. Because in marriage, the two shall become one. Simply scribbling on a post-it note, I divorce you, is not grounds for divorce. He makes the exception for sexual immorality and that kind of causation, which is itself a betrayal of the covenant relationship. But I'm not going to harbor on that too long. I don't know your history or anything, but I'm not going to get into that with you. I'm retired. Jesus says to them, learn to live together. Learn not to swear falsely. What he's telling us to do is learn to live lives that are holistically given to God. Don't be nitpickers on the letter of the law. Do you remember that? We had to read this book years ago in English class. Billy Budd. Does anybody remember that? Yeah, probably all of the lawyers do. Billy Budd. Billy was a young sailor on an English warship, and he had somehow broken the law. I don't remember the details, but he had broken the law out of compassion. But the law was the law. And throughout this book, wherein you find Billy to be a wonderfully attractive, gifted young man, and you feel sorry for him because at the very end of the book, for breaking the law, he is hung by the British Admiralty. What a waste, you come away saying. And I say to you, what a waste
of human gifts and love and compassion, when we reduce people to bits and pieces of a legalistic system which will brook no exception. We're all broken, as I said. We've all got marks on our souls. And we need, as members of this club, to treat people with gentleness and compassion and love. And sometimes it's hard to do that when we see people who have not met our expectations, when we see people and we reduce them to cause and result. There is so much more to life than cause and result. This morning in Sunday school, I kind of coined the phrase, don't be a casualty of causality. Oh, that's deep. That's far deeper than I usually go anymore. But there it is. Don't let the Church of Jesus Christ be a casualty of causality. Let us live with grace. Let us live with joy. Let us live with one love for one another and for all who are in our community. Jesus says, it was said, but I say to you, kind of like Paul Harvey, there's more to the story. You get to write page 2. Let us pray. Almighty God, help us to live lives that are wide open. Help us to choose life in all of its beauty and grace and love, and keep us from being those who live only by the letter of the law. Help us to live according to the Spirit of grace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And together let us declare that which we believe. in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Children of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. We come to the prayers of the people, and in response to the phrase, Lord, in your mercy, your response is, hear our prayer. Let us pray. We are gathered here, O Lord, with grateful hearts for the blessings we have received and the blessings you have allowed us to be. Keep our lives full of grace and yet also sensitive to the needs of others. Lord, in your mercy, we are gathered, O Lord, as your people in this place. Yet if we are mindful that the deeds, decisions, and discussions that we hold here are manifested throughout this community, this state, this nation, and this world, like the rings of a pebble tossed into a pond, our reach goes farther than we can imagine. So help us to remember that we are indeed your instruments, and we do have effects far-reaching. Lord, in your mercy, we lift our prayers, O Lord, for those of this congregation and community who stand in need of your presence and your grace. We also lift our prayers for those in our nation and in our world who are in need of your protection. Especially, O Lord, we lift up those who are victims of the earthquakes in Turkey and in Syria. Lord, in your mercy. And send us forth, O Lord, as your servants from this place to bear witness to your wonderful grace and goodness. May our lives be shining examples of what you would call us to be and do. And these and all of our prayers we ask in the name and by the power of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who taught us when we pray to pray boldly, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us receive our tithes and our offerings as we present them to the Lord.
With grateful hearts, O Lord, we receive again that which you first entrusted to us. Multiply these gifts by your grace, that your kingdom may be expanded, and that our hearts may be strengthened in the giving. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now go forth from this place in peace to love the Lord and to serve each other. In the name of the Father who created us, the Son who came down to be among us, and the grace of the Holy Spirit which is sufficient for us all. Amen.